This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
In the second part of my interview with Shakespeare scholar Dr. Laurel Moffat, she discusses Shakespeare's many references to scripture and also the way big themes of the Bible are scattered throughout his work.
There are over 1,000 references, direct references to scripture or allusions that are catalogued, you know, in reference works.
Okay, so you've got an example for us from A Midsummer Night's Dream, a very popular play.
That's right. It's a lot of fun. And we have in the Act 4, Scene 1, when Bottom is waking up. Well, he thinks he's waking up from a dream he's had all night, which is actually, you know, actual events that have happened in the play where he's been given the head of an ass by Puck.
Which is always a favourite moment for the audience.
That's right. He's a favourite character. He's a lot of fun. And he's trying to make sense of what's happened to him. And so in this little speech of his is a reference to scripture. See if you can get it.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. I have had a most rare vision. I have had a dream past the wit of man to say what dream it was. Man is but an ass if he go about to expound this dream. Methought I was, there is no man can tell what. Methought I was and methought I had, but man is but a patched fool if he will offer to say what methought I had. The eye of man hath not heard, the ear of man hath not seen. Man's hand is not able to taste, his tongue to conceive, nor his heart to report what my dream was.
Okay, so as someone who knows the Bible, I'm hearing some words there that are very familiar from one of Paul's letters.
That's right. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 2, verse 9, I believe,
yes.
Where Paul is speaking about the wisdom of God. And for Shakespeare's audience, they would know that with having Athens and the woods outside of Athens as the setting for A Midsummer Night's Dream, Shakespeare's raising the idea of reason and wisdom as Athens of the as a seat of
wisdom. Philosophy
That's
and learning.
Right, yes. And here's Bottom, who's the opposite of a wise philosopher. He's the fool, but of course he's also the wise fool, you know, a conventional character in Shakespeare and many other dramatists of the age and before. So here he is trying to explain his dream, and it's, of course, ringing lots of bells for his audience to a passage that's explaining the wisdom of God as revealed in Christ. So he's having a lot of fun, you know, making reference to Scripture, a serious portion of Scripture where, although Paul might be having some fun himself in that passage of Scripture, and here's Bottom and Shakespeare having some fun.
And bringing up this whole theme of what's true wisdom, what's foolishness. Sometimes those who look wise are actually the fools.
Right, and sometimes the fool is wise. And also, it's the play itself is asking the question, what does the imagination have to do with reason? Which sounds a lot very similar to the question, what does Athens have to do with Jerusalem or Jerusalem with Athens? What do faith and reason have to do with one another? And here we have the fancy and reason. What do those have to do? What do they have to do with each other?
Great. So without that knowledge of that part of Scripture, you're really not going to get what's going on here.
Right. There's more complex thoughts behind the play. It's a lot of fun, but if you plumb the depths, you see it's quite rich as far as its references to Scripture.
Great. Okay. Now, I know Shakespeare also uses Bible characters in various places. Maybe you just give us an example of where he does that.
Right. So he makes reference, I guess, to figures in Scripture. Christ or Judas or Pilate. He's directly referring to the heart of Scripture and the heart of Christianity, which is the death and resurrection of Christ, and the events surrounding that death and resurrection.
So when an author does that, they sort of borrow the authority of the story of Christ for themselves. I mean, I'm thinking of Richard II, where
right.
He kind of borrows the authority of Christ, yes. Identifies himself with Christ in some way.
So, yes, first, you know, initially in the play, he's trying to bar the authority of Christ, but in some of his allusions to Christ, he's trying to bar the authority of a risen Christ and neglecting the suffering servant Christ that comes before the death and the resurrection.
That's a pretty human thing to do, isn't it? I'll go for the kingship, but I don't want to get there by the path of suffering like Jesus did.
That's right, and Richard ends up having to suffer, and that's part of the tragedy. Also, there are references, I suppose, to the people that are betraying him, to Judas, and when he says that you know, Jesus had it good, he had 11 good followers and one who betrayed him. I don't have any in 12,000. He's almost saying I'm an Uber Christ, which Shakespeare's audience would have known pride comes before a fall. Something's about to happen that's dire and bad.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.